Good afternoon. We do have to have our bus on the road by 2:50, so hope we'll get done by then. And just kidding. It'll be a little bit briefer, more brief than that anyway. But I'm excited for a very fun night with our youth and some parents going with us. Thank you, parents who are going. I did want to mention very briefly, we do need a few parents to drive. We have, I think, 41 people going tonight, count parents. A pretty big crew going. And so if you want to come here, if you want to meet us at Beach Hill, we'll actually want to try to leave here at 2:50. So if you want to ride with us from Beach Hill, be here at 2:50. We'll drive on your own. We'll drive together. We'll try to be at Ripley Walmart around 3 or 3:05. And we'll leave from there, heading towards the theater. And the movie will start at 4:30. We'll get plenty of time to get popcorn, snacks, and that kind of thing. So very, very excited about this afternoon together with our youth. And also Tuesday morning, I want to announce very quickly, the men are going to do a few jobs with yard work and things, the community. But they also said if the women who talk to me want to go, that we'll use you for door-to-door campaigns as a congregation there. They said it's been very effective for their worship number and for people getting help they need at their home. So I know it's a little announcements to go over very briefly, but I wanted to mention those before we begin our study together this evening. A few years ago, there was a place in Indiana, McDonald's, on Father's Day. And it was 8:30 at night, and a woman was getting her meal, and she looked in the rearview mirror, and she saw behind her was a father in a van. He had four kids with him, and she said, you know what, I want to pay for his meal too behind me. So she paid for her meal, and she bought his meal as well as a couple of Big Macs, Happy Meals, and that kind of thing. But from her single act of kindness, that father gets up to the window and says, hey, your food was paid for. He said, if that's the case, I'm going to pay for the person behind me. And this went on and on from 8:30 to that McDonald's closed at 12 o'clock that night. 167 people paid for the meal for the person behind them. And it's human nature, right, that whenever you receive a gift, whenever you have something that's been given to you, you're more likely to be willing to give to others. This whole idea is typically called today paying it forward. I want to do something for somebody else, and they'll do something for somebody else, and so on and so on. We think about what that means for us as Christians when it comes to what God gives us. And that if God gives us the gifts that He does, the love that He does, the encouragement that He does, we not want to take the blessing that He gives us and use it in our lives to help others along the way. When we come to worship together, we are blessed so immensely by so many wonderful things that God blesses us with through the avenue of worship. We are blessed with that love and encouragement we talked about this morning. We're blessed with that oneness of our heart and our mind as we worship God, as we live for Him daily. But if that is the case, what should we do with the gift of worship that we're given? What should we do with this gift of togetherness that God gives us here at Beach Hill? So this morning we talked about what we bring to worship. This afternoon, briefly, we're going to discuss what we're able to take with us whenever we leave worship. The blessings that worship gives us, and the fact we can take these blessings into the world, pay it forward, and make this world a better place. First off, whenever we leave worship this afternoon, we will take encouragement with us. As we discussed this morning, we leave worship being encouraged. We are encouraged by those around us, by our worship itself, and all the wonderful promises that God reminds us of during our worship. And then, with that encouragement, we leave here, ready to enter into a new week, and we take that encouragement with us. Romans 15, verses 1 through 2 tells us, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. As we live and breathe in the blessed promise of redemption that we receive through Jesus as Christians, we are able to derive indescribable strength from God. And this strength helps us through our day-to-day lives. However, just getting through our day, getting through our situations is not sufficient as a Christian. Instead, we are told to use that strength God gives us to aid us, but then take that strength in the world as well and help out every single person we come in contact with. We help them carry that burden, just as Jesus Christ helps us carry ours each and every day. And our faith in God shapes our view of life. It changes the way we view things. It allows us to keep things in the eternal view as opposed to the earthly and the finite view. So that blessing also means we're able to have a different outlook on many things. And this outlook, this encouragement that you take with you, will make you stand out in the world. John 8, verse 12 reminds us that when we walk after Jesus, we will walk after the light because Jesus is the light. Then, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus shows us what our encouragement brings to the world whenever he says, "You are the salt of the earth." But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are not simply told to be salt to one another. Jesus does not say, be the salt to your church or to your congregation. He says we as Christians are the salt of the earth. We bring the good news that can preserve their souls for all of eternity, and we bring them a meaning, a new flavor, something that makes them enjoy every moment of life, just as salt does to our food that we eat. And Jesus trusts his people with the task of carrying his gospel into the world. God says there's no more need for Moses and the plagues. There's no more need for an ark or us defeating giants. Instead, we being the salt, we being the light as we leave here in worship in just a moment. That is what God has deemed to be able to carry his gospel into the world, all of us. Every single person in here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, that is our job, to carry this light into the world and take this encouragement with us. We encourage others daily, for we are encouraged by one another. And with that gift of encouragement, we go out into this world and we become encouragers to all. Secondly, when we leave worship, we take the blessed story of Christ's mercy with us. When we leave worship, we take forgiveness with us. As we're reminded about Jesus every single time we gather together, either through song or prayer or scripture reading, the sermon and the Lord's Supper we took this morning. But a lot of times it's all those things, isn't it? It all focuses on this blessed story of Jesus who died for us on Calvary. And we're also reminded that Jesus did not die for the Christian you are tonight. The Bible says that Jesus died for you while you are a sinner. Because the day you're baptized and become a Christian, that's the person Jesus died for. The person who is full of sin, who has no hope, who has no future. That's the person Jesus died for. And because of that death, we can resurrect into that newness of life with him. And live these Christian lives. We're able to live through him and by him. Because of this salvation that exists in our lives, we have no choice but to be forgiving people. Because we know without forgiveness, we would not be here this morning. Without forgiveness, we would not have hope tonight. But as we come to worship, we're reminded of that forgiveness, we're reminded of that mercy, and we take that with us as we leave. We think differently, we act differently, and we have a light that the darkness of the world cannot comprehend. We're reminded of the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23. And in verse 24, Jesus, giving this parable, says that the servant owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is not like a dollar or a coin. Instead, it's a weight of silver. And they estimate, at the least, that'll be worth $15 million today. So this servant owed $15 million, unpayable, unfathomable, to ever reach that money. But he goes to his master and he begs for forgiveness. He gets down on his hands and knees. He says, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." And as we know, the master forgives him. There's no stipulations, there's no payment plan, it's just forgiveness. Well, surely, right, that servant would go into the world with a forgiven heart. He would take the gift he was given and then leave there in the presence of his master and go into the world with forgiveness. But no, the parable goes on and Jesus tells us that somebody owed him, a servant, owed the other servant 100 denarii, which is about 15 bucks. And he goes to that servant, he puts his arms around his throat and begins to choke him, seizes him, and throws him in prison. We think about that, don't we, as Christians? This man was just forgiven of $15 million. He's throwing this man in prison for $15. It makes no sense, does it? Likewise, whenever we live our Christian lives, this idea that we aren't forgiving, that we aren't merciful, it never enters our minds, does it? Because I have the hope and the joy of knowing that right now, God has mercy on me through Jesus, and I know I'm forgiven. And we take that forgiveness with us after worship, and we bring it into the world that lacks mercy, that lacks forgiveness. And instead of being like the servant who does wrong, we're like the good and faithful servant, Jesus Christ. who forgives us for all things. And so we take this mercy with us as well. Whenever you think about this idea of everything we discussed this morning, of everything that we've talked about, of what worship should look like, what we take from worship, we're often reminded, of course, of the most important thing we talked about this morning, and that being love. The love that we share with each other, the love that we exhibit. Because as we live our lives in the body of Christ, we do so with this goal that we also do not let these things hinder us in our worship. As Christians, as we gather, because we focus with one heart and one mind, divisions cannot exist among the brethren. But make no mistake, there will be a time in your life, if we get to live long lives, and more than likely you'll have to forgive somebody that you worship with for something that they've done. But also, there's going to be a time in your life whenever you have to ask for forgiveness as well. Because as we all gather together, we come knowing that we're imperfect. We come knowing that we all make mistakes, that we all hurt each other, even though we try our best not to. With this love and forgiveness that we share, this love that Paul prayed to continue in the church in Corinth, as we read this morning, we talk about in Ephesians, all throughout the book, in Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And we're able to have that forgiveness because we know what Christ did for us. And lastly, whenever we leave here this morning, as we just kind of mentioned a bit, we take the love of God with us. Because in just a few minutes, we'll walk out this door, and Lord willing, we'll be back together Wednesday night. Some of us will go to a movie tonight. Some of us will be able to go to Amory on Tuesday. We will not worship again together until Wednesday. But it does not matter, because as we go out from this place, we represent this congregation, we represent our families, but above all things, we represent the love of God together. In Mark 12, Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, and he says in verse 9, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." If a person were to follow these commands, then everything else would just sort of fall into place, wouldn't it? Because if we love God with all of our heart, that means we want to follow Him, listen to His Word, apply His Word, and live our lives for Him. And furthermore, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will tell them the blessed story of Jesus. And it's such a sad thought to have that as we leave worship together with people who are like-minded, and we enter into the unknown of this week with people who are struggling, people who don't know what Jesus Christ did for them, people not knowing that they can have a second chance through His blood that He shed on Calvary, that if we were to love our neighbor as ourselves, you better believe we tell them the good news of Jesus. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we let them know that Jesus Christ died for them just as He died for us. Because whenever we depart from the fold of God, we have to pick that backpack back up we talked about this morning, pick our weight, put it back on our shoulders. And we enter back into the spiritual warfare of life, but we take this love with us. We take this love because, you know, we also love each other, that we're with each other throughout the week. We know we need our worship together and the love that it exemplifies, because that worship reminds us of this love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, he writes there, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." As he continues on, he says things about love, what this love should look like. Verse 17, "Love is perfected with us." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." In verse 19, "We love because He first loved us." We can never undersell the impact that this love has on humanity. And this morning we talked about that you can never over-encourage somebody. And tonight we leave here with the knowledge we can never love someone too much. There's never anybody in this world who's not worthy of our love, because we, to Jesus, at our worst, were worthy of His. And this love means that we make it our mission every single day to make sure we do every single thing we can to let every single person know what Jesus Christ did for them. Because for us to love them as we love ourselves, we want to know that story, don't we? And most of you in here, you probably talked somebody in here today at this afternoon in worship service. Somebody used to go to church here, maybe it was your family, a friend, whoever helped you as you grew up because they loved you so much, they wanted to prepare you. What a beautiful thing it is to take love with us into this world that needs it. A love that's not weighed down by fear, a love that cannot be defeated, but a love that we see and worship as we gather together, and a love that's going to be victorious forevermore. We love because He first loved us. Then we love because we love one another here at Beach Hill. And then we love this world because they deserve it. They need to know when we have the good news. So today we leave with a challenge to take this encouragement that we feel in our worship and encourage others in this world. To take hearts that are forgiven and full of mercy and show this world that they can be forgiven too. We do not hold grudges. We do not create divisions. We are peacemakers. And we leave with the love of Jesus at the forefront of our minds. A love that can save anybody who obeys Him and follows His will. Anybody who is baptized with Him into His death, resurrected into His resurrection and newness of life. We take the love of God with us, perfected in us, and we show the world the incredible things that God's love can do for them. If you've not yet become a Christian, in just a moment, please do so. To put on Christ in baptism and enter that newness of life. Offer the prayers of the congregation for any need whatsoever. Please come now as we stand and as we sing.